generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We're here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
Hello world, this is Slicko, your host, and with me today for episode 3 of BaseNet Radio is DMAD and Silent Slade.
Hey.
Hi.
On this show, we discuss lots of news in the tech and computer industries that we find interesting. Of course, this includes Slashdot and other well-known sources, but we do try to find news that's not in the spotlight. We also have the Distro of the Week section, and in the near future, we'll add a few more sections. Any reproduction or retransmission of this material is encouraged. That's why this MP3 is available for download at our website, basenet.slickzero.net. DMAD, you're finally here. You made it.
Well, thank you.
What the hell took you so long?
Work.
Work issues. And because of work, your scheduling there, you'll be missing...
Yeah, I'll be missing every third show.
So roughly. You'll be here, and you'll be here next week. Next week you won't.
Yes.
And it will continue on that rotation cycle.
That is correct.
Which means you got to bring in some other weird people here to take up a seat.
Hooray!
Yay! Special guest stars!
Anyway, as I was telling you before, it's definitely refreshing having you back.
Why, thank you.
And I say having you back even though you've never been on the actual published show, because, well, we've recorded 6 or 7 shows before the first one.
Right.
Just trying to get a feel for what's going on here, but yeah, that's why...
That's why it sounded
like
we almost knew what we were doing, but... Except for that stupid problem with the compressor, but anyway.
Yeah, anyway, now that we're all here, might as well say a little bit about ourselves,
since
this is going to be the usual crew.
That's true. Let's start with the new guy.
Oh, no. You put me in a spot.
Of course! What else?
You don't give away any personal information here, just how you got into computers.
So my social security number is... I work in the VoIP industry.
Ooh, lovely.
Yes, we are the new shit.
Yes, for now.
Until the next shit comes out.
The end. Slade next.
No, you can do a little better than that. Like,
just how'd you get into computers?
Yeah, how'd you get into computers in the first place? Anyway.
We'll interview each other on this session.
Was it
That's
when you
we'll
stole
do.
Each other's equipment? Was it when your parents bought a computer? What was it?
Actually, my very first computer was a giant Russian calculator.
Wow.
Lovely.
Russian calculator?
It wouldn't run Windows.
Well,
I was.
Mine wouldn't. My first one.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the end.
The end. All right, Slade, how about you then?
All right, what do you want to know?
How you got into computers and stuff?
Let's see, got into computers when I was younger, I guess, like a little bit. But I never owned a computer in my house, so I never had a chance to fool around. I was always going to other people's houses.
Okay.
Around with their things. Got to program on an old Apple II for a while. That was fun.
Yay for loops.
Yay! 25. Run! Yay. Anyway. And then eventually, like, when I started going to college, I finally had the chance to go summer job, buy my own computer, bought a crappy gateway.
And you got into Linux.
Big mistake. Ran out of Windows for a while, and then little by little, it moved over to Linux. And now I'm on the Slack book here.
And loving it ever since, I'm sure.
Every second, though.
Nice.
But wait, I'm sorry. I hate to take the credit, but who introduced you to Slackware?
That was some weirdo across from me.
That must be DMAD.
Yeah, it was some
Yeah, because actually we learned Linux. Well, about Linux in college, right?
Right. We learned about it in college, and then we started fooling around on our own. And I think we've tried more distributions than our instructor ever has now.
Yeah.
Well, what has he tried? Red Hat and Mandrake.
Red Hat, Mandrake.
Maybe SUSE.
And SUSE Linux. Whatever running on his hacked Xbox too.
Okay.
Yeah. We had a cool instructor. He actually showed us how to hack and mod the Xbox right in class.
Mr. That's R, awesome. Greetings.
Yeah. So, Mr. R, you know you're out there. That one's for you. You slick?
I guess it's me now. All right, well, let's see. It all started back in, like, what, fourth grade when my dad bought home, like, an IBM, like, 386 machine. That was fun. Just met, like, you know, the whole 30 meg hard drive deal.
One
meg of RAM. Oh, man, now that I'm running 1 gig, that 1024 brings back memories. Yeah.
1 meg of RAM is all you'll ever need.
640K is all you'll ever need.
640K is all you ever
yes.
need.
Yes.
Right.
So I had more than you'd ever need. I had more than more you'd ever need, actually. Yeah, so I went from that and, like, my dad telling me how to copy files and whatnot to, like, showing my dad how I could speed up the machine by, like, sixth grade or something.
That was cool.
Then it just escalated from there on Windows for a few years. Then I started just getting fed up with all the blue screens. And, well, actually, no, I didn't have blue screens. I was running 2K at the time.
It was the rebooting that I switched. You must have hated.
Yeah. I didn't know the difference in stability, because when I first tried Red Hat, I was still in school. That was right. The first distro I used. It was like on version 6.0, running a Genome or something very unstable.
Right.
And there were crashes constantly. I didn't have broadband, so I was stuck on the modem.
Yeah.
So, Win modem nonetheless, so the drivers for that were just horrible. And I don't even think they were existent at that time.
So what service were you using?
To get on the internet?
Yeah.
Well, the same as everyone else, of course.
AOL?
Well, yeah, I had that since, like... I don't have it now. I had it...
Okay.
God help me if I did, but... No, I had it from, I guess, like, early middle school, but then I realized I didn't have as many friends as the people on AOL. So I stopped with all the bots and all the, like, progs and the IM punters and whatnot. Right. And... went on to better things.
Good times, good right. times.
Yeah. Now I'm on the cable services thing. Yeah. Seems good.
And God knows where you'll end up.
Yeah. Well, I used Red Hat for a year, then moved on to Slackware. Was happy with that for a couple of years, then I found Gentoo. I seem happy with that.
Yeah, you seem to like Gentoo a lot more than Slack.
Well, because Gentoo does all the crap for you. It saves me from typing, /configure, make all, make install. Right. It saves me that crap, even though it's nothing to type.
It's only like 3 lines.
Yeah, I mean, I usually start from stage 2 so I don't have to bootstrap or nothing
right.
when I install, but it still takes a while. I actually like Arch Linux now.
Yeah, but you haven't totally migrated over there yet.
No, I'm... one of my machines isn't, but I'm open to a whole bunch of distros, that's why I...
You even run, what's the other one?
What's the other one? For a firewall? Mm-hmm. Oh, IPCOP.
There you go.
And that's a pretty nice one.
Hmm.
I use that for a quick and easy firewall gateway setup, instead of having to configure my own. If you didn't notice it yet, I'm lazy.
So in any case, so that's just a little bit about us.
Yep. And so
We have one VoIPer and 2 cable company users.
Yay for cable company.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Anyway.
I guess that means on to the next section.
Yeah, I guess. Let's move on.
And that would be news.
Okay, now let's see. On the news section today, I want to talk a little bit more about what happened with IBM.
What happened with IBM?
Well, you know recently that they were having talks about selling off their entire PC and laptop line.
To China, yes.
To China, yes. So they were... it looks like their deal is almost finalized here.
Well, I should clarify first. Not to China, to a Chinese company.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
When you think about it, I think it's $1.75 billion that they're selling the whole thing for.
Yeah, but...
that's a lot of money.
But, well, whatever. It's done with and... it's sold. IBM sold to their PC desktop line.
It's just a sad, sad story.
Yeah, they're selling it for almost two billion dollars, and see, they're
2 billion is a nice amount.
Yeah, no, they didn't. The reason is they were losing money in the last 3 years. They lost what, 171 million in 2002, roughly 258 million last year.
Well, they got that back like tenfold.
I know, that's what I'm thinking. I was like, by selling it for 1.75, you're making tons of cash.
Right. They definitely made that back a lot.
Right, and I do.
So that is a good move for them.
I think since the 70s, they had already started outsourcing their PC companies anyway, so they already had factories in China.
Interesting.
I think, what was the name of it? Great Wall Industries was one of the companies that they had sold their outsourcing to.
I don't recall. I was reading that. I think I was reading the same thing you were about that.
Let's see. Yeah, IBM had a manufacturing operation in, I can't pronounce this, Shenzhen, China, with some company called Great Wall Technology. Not Industries, Technology. So it looks like when this new company takes over IBM's product line, they already have something already close to home. So
very
I guess
nice.
That makes sense. So all those, you know, IBMs were already made in China for everyone.
Interesting.
Who owns one and thinks, you know, made in the USA, right?
But what isn't made in China these days?
The stuff that's made in Taiwan.
Pollution.
Yeah, right.
Our pollution, let's put it that way.
Oh, okay.
And that smell.
That Jersey smell.
Oh, Jersey smell. That Jersey smell when you come out there. All right, anyway, yeah, so IBM's decided to sell their thing off. They're making a shit ton of money, which God knows what they're going to do with it. What do you do with an extra $2 billion in your budget? They're probably going to lay some people off.
I would say make a Linux distro.
Do you think they would actually do it?
It would be interesting, but weren't they part of something that was making...
They were working on something.
They were working on... I think they were part of a standards group at one point.
Standards group, but they don't have any...
Linux standards. That's like an oxymoron.
Who has like an actual distribution that they back
up. Right. But it would be interesting if to see IBM do something like that. They do. They're focusing on the server market right now, but
yeah, they're also well.
But on the server market, to make a Linux distro, that would be the logical way to go.
That's
at
true.
At least in my way of thinking.
They already have their own proprietary OS 400 system servers and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, in any case, HP decided to capitalize on a deal, and they're actually launching this month a PC rebate program.
Really?
Right. They're trying to get people who used to use IBM to, hey, come on, switch over to HP. Because, you know, we're still here.
Oh, no.
We still suck.
It's unbelievable. It's like, I think they sent an email out to...
They're pissed that they didn't get to buy IBM like they bought Compaq.
Do you think the HP would have bought IBM?
No.
Do they have $1.75 billion to throw out like that?
No.
Oh. It's kind of a lot of money.
Yeah. It is quite a bit, isn't it?
And so the HP people think that IBM customers want to try going to some other company for their servers. Now that IBM's being sold off to China, it's not going to be as reliable in some people's eyes. It's not going
to
be...
Well, is HP reliable to begin with?
No. Not in my opinion.
You know, where was it that we were at? We were at like a Best Buy or something,
yes.
Just wandering in and out of different stores. There was an HP there, and I just like... tried to see how durable it was. I took my thumb and my forefinger and started like bending the plastic and anything inside of it. Yeah, it was a laptop.
Yeah, the laptop was folded.
If I could bend up a normal desktop with my thumb and forefinger, right?
You were bending it like a playing card. Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
You could have shuffled those laptops.
I'm sorry, is that an advertisement for Panasonic?
No, it's not.
No.
Oh, I
was not trying
say.
To advertise Panasonic.
Those tough books, although they're very durable and very nice. They are fucking expensive.
That's what you get for something you can crack over someone's head.
That's true.
Yeah.
Get a nice shade of red on your keyboard afterwards.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's like free paint, you know, the blood on the keyboard.
There you go.
Because it won't seep through. It won't make any problems. You can still type. Anyway. Yeah, thanks to Net for fucking sticking my S key up, by the way.
Oh, that was good.
The monster didn't penetrate through the laptop.
But it sure
but
gave hell to the keyboard.
It made my S key sticky. Try water.
Yeah.
Yeah, spill water or spray WD-40 on it or something.
I'm probably going to do WD-40 just to get it to work again.
Nice.
I just don't want to try it because of that stupid smell you get when you use WD-40.
Yeah.
So wait,
it's only around for a day.
Slate, you use Panasonic Toughbook, correct?
Yeah, I use a Toughbook with a touchscreen for the show so I can get my news on here and quickly navigate around.
You want to give listeners a name of the Toughbook that you're using?
The 37, the CF37.
37.
It's running Slackware Linux using the Gunzi drivers for the touchscreen.
How heavy is it?
It's only like 4.4 pounds. Probably 4.5 if you add the wireless card and the Cat5 cable.
It's pretty nice, though. For the price?
Yeah, it's on eBay. I got it really cheap, dirt cheap off some guy. Yeah. Don't
know. Good, so you didn't pay Panasonic.
I didn't pay Panasonic a dime.
Good.
I even got a secondhand battery off of eBay.
Yeah, just buy them used,
dude. Spare for $20.
Just buy them used.
Nice.
The whole thing with battery and shipping cost me like less than $500 total. Wow. With the extra battery thrown in.
Wow.
That's very nice, actually.
A tough book, an actual notebook of this caliber? Mm-hmm. What would you pay for something like this that's new, really?
Well, I looked it up at Panasonic. It was somewhere around the realm of like $1,300 to $2,000, depending on the options.
For a P3? Or
for the P3500 that this is.
Wow.
Oh, I guess it's a good deal, huh?
You try looking at online retailers and other places. I see a place trying to sell it for $2,200, brand new.
Wow.
I'm like, what? I don't think so.
So, and
back to eBay it is.
Yeah, so speaking of eBay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't you just order one of these yourself?
Actually, yeah. I ordered a third one. I have a CF45, CF27, and a CF37 right about now.
Jesus Christ.
Somebody's a fan.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the series.
Are you planning on going on an excavation or some weird place? What the hell do you need these tough books for?
I'm just preparing for the end of the world.
Oh my god.
I'm just stockpiling, man.
Yeah, in case another tsunami comes.
D-Man's dead, but his laptop's fine.
So
the charger's broken, but the laptop's still working.
Wait, so Slade, tell me. What is this whole thing about Microsoft Passport and eBay these days?
Oh, the Passport thing?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't eBay drop the Passport functionality?
Yeah, because that's what I heard.
Hey, the last two big companies that used to run the Passport on their sites, I think Monster dropped it a few weeks ago. And so now when you go to Monster.com, you won't see that Passport login.
Mm-hmm.
And eBay is planning to drop it by the end of January. So I'm guessing in another 2-3 weeks, you should see it vanished off their site. Okay. Which means that Microsoft doesn't have anyone left, major, huge internet company, to pimp out their Passport.
Right.
The only places you can go are MSN sites. I think PayPal might still have one. But I don't know, if eBay pulled out, PayPal might pull out.
Yeah,
that's
say
true.
So.
eBay gives PayPal a lot of business.
Yeah. I really barely ever see people use PayPal besides eBay and donate to my website.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But I could have sworn eBay bought out PayPal, but hey,
I wouldn't be surprised, but it'd be better if they're separate entities.
Yeah, I agree.
Simply because you don't want to pay the same people who are all using your auction thing.
Well, that would be a smart move on eBay's part.
It would be a smart move on eBay's part, but it wouldn't be a smart move on the customer's part.
That's right.
Trust the same
company. Well, do you think they really care? But
of course, whatever. Not. They don't care.
That's a whole other rant and situation and whatever. Moving on.
Google Pal and ePal. Oh, I can see it now. That's going to be a scary concept. So, I think Microsoft is going to start to phase out their Passport because they don't have anyone else to really use it except their own sites. MSN.com, their email at Hotmail, I think the certifications and the MSN Gaming Zone are the only ones that have it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some other, sites.
What are they going to do without Passport? Seriously, what are they going to say? They're going to say something like, why use Passport when you could write like a 2-line .NET script to do the same thing? Because everything's already coded in there to make more bloat.
Well, don't forget the .NET Passport thing might also be included in Longhorn too, so gotta deal with that.
Hmm.
It might be part of the whole, you must make up a .Passport login to get into Longhorn. I can see it now.
That's good.
You gotta be online in order to log into your computer.
Oh, I would hate that.
That would be really, but really retarded.
Is anybody really gonna miss Passport?
Passport?
I mean, honestly.
Did anybody use Passport?
No.
No.
I have a Passport account, actually.
You do?
Yeah.
From what?
So I can get free stuff from Microsoft. For what else?
Oh, excellent.
I never thought about that.
So the Passport account is free?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I might get one then.
It's that, just
to make Microsoft waste some more money. I wonder if that's legal.
I mean, there are...
Let's say it is.
I'm pretty sure there are more expensive versions of it.
Legal?
Stop playing with the mic.
Oh, yeah, I'm just sitting here disconnecting the microphone.
We had an issue earlier with it. We had to start a little late because the thing decided to just crap out again.
Yeah. Yeah, what happened was this microphone crapped out at one point, and from somebody dropping it off the stand. Not nice for a nice large diaphragm condenser. But, yeah, I hooked it. It fell off of an amp later on, like, probably months later, and magically started working.
Until today.
When it was just plugged in and on for long enough for it to get that nasty hum back again.
Maybe it's because of the bad weather. I don't know.
Bad weather? We're indoors, dude.
Yeah, but it's moist in here.
It's moist in here.
I'm a little cold. No, seriously.
What else you got?
Righto.
What else do I got? Okay, did you hear about the Nextel merger?
No.
Who hasn't? We've been talking about the past 3 weeks.
Yes, but he wasn't here.
I wasn't here.
He doesn't like to listen into the show.
I do sometimes. I heard the first one.
We were mentioning it then, weren't we?
Yeah, we were mentioning it.
See, but you don't pay attention. ADD. Anyway.
I only listened to the part where you actually said my name. I'll be honest.
Hey, look, it's me.
There were actually two parts where we mentioned you, in the beginning and the end.
Yes.
So you only listened to the beginning?
But the last part was actually accidental.
The end is the beginning is the end. To him.
Well, whatever. Anyway.
Okay, anyway, so if you go to Sprint.com, the first thing you see on their website is, you know, of course, their PQ Sprint logo. And it says, you know, you're going faster. But if you look down...
It's sucking suckier.
It's the Nextel logo. And the merger announcement.
The merger.
It's already there. So it's pretty much official if it's on their website.
Click here for more info.
And of course, so what seems is going to happen is, and this is straight out of some crappy magazine again. Let's see, what is this? Network World.
Sweet.
They wanted to find out, you know, what's going to happen. What are Nextel customers becoming Sprint customers? Are Sprint customers becoming Nextel customers? What's going on?
Get from two shitty... another example of two shitty services making a big shit.
Well, the only reason, like, Sprint even bought out Nextel is because of all those business customers Nextel has.
Yeah.
Think about it.
That could be it.
Nextel customers waste more money for their phone bill than any other customer.
Right.
On a monthly basis.
Oh, hell yeah.
They make calls long distance to different countries. They're on the phone longer because they're trying to get their...
What are they trying to get anyway? I don't know.
Well, in any case, they're going to start merging the two together. I believe it's the Nextel standard that's going to take the dive, and it's going to transition over to Sprint. And, of course, I think Sprint's going to try to release the 3G technology, the third generation technology being used.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And, of course, Super G3, which is another thing I've read about this week, is coming out in about 2009. A couple companies, I think some of them in Japan, are considering doing it.
Hmm.
And this is pretty interesting because it's we're talking high speed connections here.
Yeah, 3G. You
know, 3G is gonna Super 3G is they're talking.
Is that just a name or is that referring to
it's the
frequency?
Name of they're talking to their name of the technology. It stands for Super Third Generation.
Oh, so it doesn't stand for like 3 gigahertz.
No, it's
it's
just a different kind of connection here. They're talking about they want to boost their transmission speeds for phones. So they have 30 to 100 megabit per second connections.
It's not bad.
Yeah, so you have the kind of speed you get on, you know, the wiring we have now on your phone, and they want to start launching digital services on your phone so you can watch movies, you can download music off your phone, pretty much turning your phone into a miniature laptop.
Nice.
So by 2009, we should be seeing that launched around. We've got some companies here that are doing it. It's Alcatel, Siemens, Vodafone, Docomo, other companies across the overseas here. I think NEC is in this as well.
Thou shalt not mention the name of NEC.
Why?
And believe it or not, Singular.
Oh my goodness gracious.
So Singular is considering doing the same thing.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Why should we not mention NEC? What's wrong with the evil NEC?
Oh god. I'm not even going to get into it. I'm not in the mood.
Go ahead, get into it.
I have an NEC phone.
Okay, so...
To be exact, it's an NEC H252, one of the newer models. Drop it once.
It's gone.
No, it actually works kind of well.
Once,
you know, the buttons.
Fine.
No, like the buttons, you know, they start going on you, you know, sounding funny. Then you drop it twice, then it starts, you know,
turning off on you or freezing or, you know, I was hoping I was getting good progress with NEC, but that's not happening.
Well, I mean, if you consider their burner line, it wasn't that hot off the presses either.
Nah.
I mean, the fact that I have to, like, hack the firmware just to get a Prinko disk to work right, mm-hmm. that's not cool.
Wow.
Where'd you get an NEC, really?
No, a friend of mine in, where the hell is he, Sweden? He bought an NEC.
Oh, okay.
He bought some Prinko discs because they're dirt cheap. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you can get a 100-pack for, like, $20. And, you know, he puts it in the drive. Error. What? Read error? Why? So, turns out that the firmware didn't support it, so you had to go in there and add it yourself.
Oh, because I might have the same problem.
You probably will.
Like the light on mm-hmm. that I have? I actually bought a light on the DVD RW.
Which one?
Same one you have, dude.
Oh, okay.
The burner itself?
All right. It didn't have any problems with Prinko's, but...
It can't handle my white DVDs that we bought on,
I have the same burner, and I have the same DVDs. They're Prinko discs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get it to work? I can't get it to work.
It tells me that there's not enough space on the disc. It reads only, like, 2 gigs. I don't know why.
Get the update. Get the firmware update.
Like I said, I probably need a firmware update.
I mean, mine isn't even the official update anymore. Mine mm-hmm. has been hacked a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I should probably get it done. Can you help me out?
Yeah, I can. We could do that after the show.
Excellent.
I think there's a... Who was it? Some guy named Speedhack, 8 with string of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
He set it up, so he has a couple pre-hacked firmwares on his website you can use. And really? He also has the tools, so you can do it yourself.
Okay.
You can open up the binary file and just go crazy.
Always fun.
It's always good to play with your hardware. It's because they always put limitations on it.
Yeah.
Just to stifle you, so you can't have to buy the more expensive one that burns at the same speed that this one can, but they try to lock it out.
I mean, we all know that happens.
I mean, come on. I mean, I have an 8X drive that can burn 4X discs at 8X with no problems mm-hmm. at all, unless you're trying to play it on like an old DVD player or something.
Mm-hmm.
Why not use it at 8X instead of limited it to 4, if I want to?
Well, I agree.
Let's just break in and say, yeah, I'm gonna burn at 8, and I'm gonna make my backup, and I'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. That's why modifying computers works.
Right.
Modifying any sort of hardware works. Even your car. But that's
hacking
a whole other...
Car, that's
even if it violates the DMCA, it's still cool by us.
If it's violating DMCA, it's probably better for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Okay, what's next on
But that would mean the consumer wins. But we'll not get into that.
Well, I thought the customer was always right. Oh, wait, except when the company says no. Never mind. Well, let's see. I think that's pretty much it. I just got a couple more things. The first thing is AMD is releasing a new type of chip.
Not again.
Yeah, but this is a little different. They're going in a different direction. They're not going for home computing. They're not going for server market with the Opteron. They're going... They've released something called the Alchemy AUL 200.
Uh-huh.
It's actually a multimedia processing chip for smaller devices, like, I don't know, like a camcorder or something like that.
Okay.
And actually, it's going to be used with TiVo To Go.
Okay.
Which is another service where you can take TiVo.
TiVo running AMD?
TiVo running AMD.
That'd be sweet.
Okay, that's good. But can you put Linux on it? Oh, wait, it already does run Linux, doesn't it, TiVo?
You can put anything. You can make your own TiVo at this point, can't you?
Yeah.
You probably should.
I was thinking of doing it myself, but I don't watch TV, so there really is no point.
A man who works for a cable company says TV's bad. TV's what does that tell you, kids?
I watch absolutely no TV. Maybe tech TV, and even then... I'm saddened by 90% of what I see on there.
Amen, brother.
Like that cheat show. Anyway.
We won't give it a plug, so it's okay.
Any show that sponsors you, tells you to cheat at video games and is sponsored by Pringles, that's something going on. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. Pringles and video games just don't go together.
Well, junk food and video games, always good.
I don't know. I can never play a video game and just put my hand down the can and be able to play in time.
That's why you have a platter. Where
pour it out, yeah.
Exactly, so you can eat more. Get fat and just sit in front of the computer and just play. No offense.
Yeah, so I can play my old Phantasy Star games. Which
I'm sorry. I'm the skinny one.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. And
You're the skinny one. Look at me.
I'm going to go home and I'm going to get my USB joypad and I'm going to play Zelda 2. That's what I'm going to do. Because it's my day off and I want to. Anyway... So the AMD chips, that's kind of interesting. I like to see that they're going in different directions. They're trying to not just stick to one market. And the other thing that I saw that was kind of interesting, speaking of DVD drives and burners and so on,
right,
is that it looks like one of the first Blu-ray disc drives is already going to be shown today. What is it? The Computer Electronics Show is coming out this week.
Yeah.
It's the 6th or the 7th of January.
Where is it?
Las Vegas.
Oh, fun.
Ooh, by that time, I'll have my iRiver.
Yeah, let's just skip work and run to Vegas.
Excellent.
Actually, I found out I have enough vacation hours even now to take a week off, so I know where I'm going come DEF CON 13.
Oh, that's right. I got to put in my vacation time now.
Yeah, I should do that now, too. As soon as possible would be the smart thing, right?
Yeah, so any of our listeners, if you're going to go to DEF CON, we'll see you there.
Yes, and if we're there on a Monday, we may even be recording there as well.
Most blood.
That'd be pretty cool.
Seriously, but I could bring...
We might be a little drunk and tired by Monday.
But we'll be recording just for the hell of it anyway.
So we'll sound something along the lines of, how you doing, guys? Yeah.
I've actually never been to a DEF CON, but from what I hear, it's a big party.
No difference from Hope, then.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yes.
It depends on who you were with, pretty much, during Hope.
That's true. But, yeah...
I don't know. I just see it as being fun all around.
Hanging with the captain was fun, so.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yep.
Got to see Mitnick.
That's true. And we got to see Jello.
He was there for the first time.
Finally.
Yeah.
After 5 years. Five conferences.
Like you got years. To see Jello talk at like 5 words per minute.
Oh, I wish I would have been there.
Oh, that was interesting.
Oh, how...
We were so tired by the time Jello came up, we were just falling.
He had 2 hours, and he went for what, like 2 hours, 45 minutes or something?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The guy likes to talk.
Going. Absolutely.
There's some other good things there. There was the hack radio panel.
Oh, yes.
Thanks to which we're here.
Yeah, right, exactly. The final motivation. Also, that Prometheus radio project, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
The hacker radio.
And the pirate radio thing.
The hacker pirate.
You know, I'm thinking of buying a transmitter.
We're moving on from this, man.
The base net is going live.
Oh, yeah, no. Right.
That would be great, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the pirate radio panel was good. And actually, I think some of the panels are already online if you go to 2017.
Some of them, they're all online now.
All the last ones are up?
Every single last one is up.
Oh, so I guess it's time for me to fill up my jump drive. Where's my jump drive?
Sweet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I hope this thing has enough space.
Yeah, so you threw all your MP3s on there, right?
Yeah, I threw all my MP3s. I'm going to just delete them all and just throw all the whole panels on here. Listen to work on the back.
You have a gig on that?
I have a gig of space on here.
Let's see. Yeah, you may have enough.
I could just cycle through them. Just
it's like
grab,
what?
Grab
seven,
a couple hours each.
I think it's like 7 megs for each MP3 about.
It's like 100
when
pounds.
I was downloading them. 100 times 7, that's 70 megs.
700.
700 panels?
Wait. It's like, if there's like, how many panels were there?
100 7.
Panels? There weren't 7
no,
panels.
No, I thought you said how.
There were like 100 panels.
Okay, 100 pit. Oh yeah, 700. Okay, yeah, you're going to need to clear some stuff off of that.
I'm going to have to throw out, like, the Green Day and the other things out of it.
Yeah.
Just leave the base net episodes and the panel.
Yeah.
Man, well, how conceited are you?
Yeah.
Well, I have to monster. Make sure, you know, I know what we talked about.
You monster.
Besides, I'm not conceited. I actually think I sound like a flying monkey on the show. But anyway.
Wow. Hey, keep talking about sounding like a flying monkey. What was that?
I don't want to talk about any more flying monkeys. Stop recording me.
No.
You already had me recorded anyway, so what are you trying to do?
I don't know. I'm just trying to raise your middle right now.
So I can sound like a flying monkey!
Don't do that. Nice try, though.
And wee!
No, that would be a flying squirrel. Anyway. So Philips is showing off their new Blu-ray disc this week at CES, so I'm going to keep my eye on the news pages this week to make sure I can see what it can do. And how it reads. It supposedly can read CDs, DVDs, and Blu-ray discs with no problem. So it has compatibility for all.
That's pretty
It'd be nice to see a burner that can burn everything. I have multi-layer discs and have all the space.
There are always matches.
I can box the whole 10-disc Matrix box set on one DVD. That'd be great.
But, you know, we're saying how great this is, but Apple already made the Super Drive. What are they going to call this one?
The Blu-ray disc drive.
No, but it does everything, so they've got to give it some spiffy name, knowing Apple.
Well, this is HP.
They already have the Super Drive, though.
What was this? Pioneer, I think it was? So they will call this the Explorer Drive or some crap?
I don't want to know.
Just got to give it a winner name.
Oh, you know what I forgot to mention earlier?
What's that?
We were talking about Sprint and Nextel merging, right?
Yep.
Well, yet besides again. The fact that they both suck. Sorry. Go on.
Well, speaking of sucking, Sprint is going to join up with other companies as well, starting to sell off their cell phone service, sort of like the Virgin Mobile thing,
mm-hmm.
where they, you know, they're providing the service, but another company's name is on it.
Interesting.
Oh, really?
Right. So in this case, one of the companies is Time Warner Cable.
Time Warner Cable.
Time Warner Cable
doing cell phones.
Cell phone service.
Ugh.
Very weird. I know that they already have something going on with Sprint for voice over IP service.
Monopoly?
Monopoly. Anyway, they're also doing it with another company. This name might surprise you. AT&T.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me.
AT&T back in cell phone business.
We need a cricket.
Right.
Using Sprint.
AT&T.
That's scary. Oh, yeah. Crickon.
You feel that? Oh, yeah.
Could you see that? Like, AT&T just sold off their wireless services.
No, they didn't.
Well, they let them go.
No, from my understanding, AT&T Wireless was a separate company from AT&T years ago.
Well, they worked together. They split off.
They just allowed the name.
Right. So
yeah.
And then they sold themselves to Singular, and then AT&T rises again on Sprint's backbone. Weird.
Amazing.
It's just the levels of passing the
anymore?
Buck.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
They're just passing the buck over to the other person. It's not our fault. Our service is crap. It's Sprint's fault.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
But that's Virgin
Sprint's
Mobile.
Like,
wait.
It's because we're still integrating with Nextel. And then it's like, forget it. The billing nightmare that this is going to cause. If you're a Sprint rep, you have to deal with Virgin calls. Nextel calls.
Non-Virgin calls.
Virgin calls, Nextel calls, Time Warner calls, AT&T calls, and Sprint calls. That's like five different companies. You're like, hi, this is Bob at the wireless company.
Wow.
I think by the end, it's going to be one huge wireless company that's going to change the rule. And it's just going to be like a huge freaking mass of a wireless
company. Yeah, my friend.
Welcome to Ma Bell Wireless. How may I help you?
Ma Bell Wireless.
We own you.
Our hours are between 6 and 9 on weekdays, and it's 6:01, so get off my line.
What? Do I hear customer service?
Get the fuck off the phone. I can see it now. No, but seriously, it's going to turn into the whole General Motors thing. You have all these different brand names, but they're all the same fucking company.
Wow.
They both suck so much.
And they all suck.
Wow, I'm so negative. Guys, I'm not always negative. I'm just negative towards negative things.
Well, that's pretty much it. It was pretty much a slow week. So I had to dig really hard to find something interesting to talk about.
Oh.
New Year's and all that.
We forgot something.
What would that be?
We forgot to wish our listeners a Happy New Year.
Oh.
Yes, Happy New Year to all.
Hooray! Yeah. It's a new year. Hope it sucks less.
And for all you Windows users, I hope your resolution is to switch over. At least in part.
Yes.
Oh, man, I messed up last year's resolution.
Which was?
To switch a certain amount of people to Linux.
What was your percentage supposed to be?
I was going to try 1. I succeeded with that. But then I was going to try... then I bumped it up to 5. So the original resolution is still good. But the 5 didn't work out.
Well, 4? 3?
4, 3. What did I end up doing? I think about 2.
That's not horrible, but it's kind of low.
Yeah.
It's better than me.
Well, it's for one person to make 2 people use it. Not make 2 people, but like...
God, would you tie them into a room and beat them with a penguin until they switched?
No, I suggested it. That's all.
Okay.
Just suggested to enough people, and some of them will actually realize that there's not much on Windows that they need, and they don't have...
Great idea.
I wonder
a super amount of data.
I wonder if I...
MK Ultra project.
Oh, no. I wonder if I scared the pizza guy at this pizza store today with the laptop enough to have him switch.
Yeah, that was great.
He was really
staring at me like with a blank look when I was playing with the tough book. It's like
no, he was really interested. I think the old guy.
Yeah,
he was really interested.
Yeah, because we were at this pizza place and this guy sees his laptop and he's like, "Oh, what kind of laptop is that?
How much did it cost?"
Was the first thing he asked. And then you go over, start showing it to him. Mm-hmm. You have your black hacker bucket hat on. It says right on the front, "Hacker
memory T-shirt."
Yeah. And Linux booting, and he's just looking at all the lines coming up. He's thinking, what the hell is a NIT 2.84?
And he sees the little penguin on the top. He's like,
this guy's got some weird penguin like
fetish.
Weird. Fetish. Oh, God.
Yeah. Then I boot in, and it's a black background with black and white text and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was scared a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
The hacksaw is here.
But when he started seeing
me
move around the touchscreen, he's like, ooh, mine doesn't do that. Why don't I have one of those?
Oh, yeah, because you buy Compaq.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, it's HP Compaq.
Compcrack.
But they still suck. So, all right.
Well, it's not that they suck. It's
what
they,
is
okay,
with these bad mergers?
Huh?
What is with these bad mergers all of a sudden?
Like Nextel Sprint?
Yes.
Totally different. What is it? TDMA? CDMA?
No. iDEN is Nextel.
iDEN, that's right. That Motorola crap.
Sprint is TDMA, I believe. Either TDMA or CDMA. One of the two.
Sure,
probably CDMA. Yeah.
Not again.
Anyway. Not again what?
What's next on the plate?
No, you just started going crazy. So those two are merging. Well, at least the singular AT&T wireless made some sense.
Yeah, because they were both the same system.
Service, right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm an AT&T wireless user.
Mm-hmm.
Never again.
Never again. Well, of course not, because they don't exist anymore.
You're a singular user
actually,
now, dude.
My phone still says AT&T singular.
Oh, wow.
AT&T singular.
Did they change it for you?
No, it actually gets downloaded off their servers.
So they did do it for you?
Because when my phone crashes and it restarts, it just goes to AT&T for like a split second, then it just splits
really?
To AT&T singular. Yeah.
So you know you're on an AT&T antenna at the time when you...
Yeah. No. It's actually, I think it's just programmed into the phone. It could be. That is
it's
just
not programmed into the phone.
Really?
On AT&T singular phones, they download it. You're right. They actually get it from the server, and it's mm-hmm. when you're on their network, it displays that. Because
mm-hmm.
On my Nokia, like if you punch in the codes, what was it? *3001#12345#.
Unless
you could change NAM settings,
mm-hmm.
and you're able to actually get it to the point where you could change what that says.
Uh-huh.
But normally, it's left blank.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not set or it's not built into the phone or programmed
right,
into the phone.
Right.
It's actually receiving it when it's set to blank.
On certain
right.
phones, you could try changing it, but they have some other protection scheme set up.
Right. They.
It depends on the company and depends on how the phone works.
Right. Right.
But for Verizon, they don't seem to care, so that works out.
Right. Yay for Verizon.
Well, I love the fact that they left it at 12345. I mean...
Yeah.
The quote from Spaceballs, what an idiot would use on his luggage, just comes to mind.
And the password is
1, 2.
Ah, you messed it up already.
I'm surrounded by assholes.
How many assholes do we have on this thing? Anyway.
Sorry. All right, go on. Keep going.
No, you're right. I messed it up. But
one.
Anyway.
One.
Oh, man. Anyway. That's it for the news this week. I'm pretty sure
that's it for the news.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was interesting.
Unless you guys have something
that's
sneaky.
That's quick. How quick did we do that in anyway?
Oh, we got about 17 minutes left.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So this is going actually faster than I thought.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of...
We're so comfortable, it's like...
Kind of maybe for next week, I'm looking into something like a little iPod clone that does... that's like a hotspot finder, like a Wi-Fi.
Oh, those things are so cheap, though. The Wi-Fi.
No, but all right. But check this out.
Mm-hmm.
With proper modification, because it's made up. Well,
yeah.
I don't know if it's a real thing that's already made. It's already on the market, or it's a prototype. But what it's supposed to do? It's supposed to accept wireless connections. So technically, you can download MP3s wirelessly off your network onto your iPod.
So it actually does connect.
Phone.
It doesn't just find and it connects.
No, it connects. It connects.
Oh,
so
it
with proper with proper modifications.
War driving.
Or walking in the case.
Oh, hell yeah. You just come up to a house. Let's look at through his list.
What are you
MP3s.
Doing out there? I'm listening
like
to
you're,
my MP3.
You're stealing from thieves. I mean, what the hell?
I'm using my iPod dancing like in those commercials, you see?
Yeah, you can
it's
use
great.
That excuse. I'm just listening to music. I don't
now,
know what you're talking
I wonder.
About.
What was that list you were mentioning earlier about those worst songs or something? The 11 worst songs?
11 worst songs of 2004?
Yeah.
Starting and beginning with U2?
Yeah. You mean starting and ending?
Start,
I am to like U2.
What's the difference?
You guys make me sad.
Eh. I like some songs of theirs, I gotta admit. But that's probably because I heard
it's
them
a beautiful
so many
day,
times.
Man. Sorry, what?
Because it's hard to tell whether I really like it or if I just heard it so many times. I'm used
yeah, that's
to it.
Everything these days.
It's difficult.
It's everything.
Next,
thank you, Clear Channel.
I guess we are going on to Distro of the Week then.
Okay, and you have one for us?
Yeah, sir. Let's say that. Okay. Be right back with Distro of the Week. It's time for Distro of the Week. Yes, it is. The Distro of the Week, nothing more than a report on a distro one of us used throughout the week. And we are not limited to Linux distributions. This is going to be another one, though. And it could be anything from small homemade OS to a few utils on a floppy to Longhorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also know being Distro of the Week doesn't mean it's a good distro. It all depends on how the week went using it. If you have a distro you would like a report done on, just drop a line to basenet@slicko.net, slicko with a zero. And somebody actually did request a distro. I'm not going to give away what it is yet.
But we are working on that.
Yes, we are definitely working on getting that one together. And we are going to have, within the month, we're probably going to have something done on it.
Right, we just need to get that whole set up. It's a little more complicated than a normal distro, but I think it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, because it's... I never heard of it until the listener brought it
and
up.
And if I never heard of it, and you never heard of it, there's a good chance a lot of other people haven't heard of it either.
That's true. Well, thank you for that.
All right, so this week we have
Slackware, because I didn't use any other distros, and we all seem to have used it at one point.
Works for me.
So let's just randomly talk about that.
Okay, well, I guess since most people might know what Slackware is, let's give it some information about what it's different from compared to the big three.
To most other distros?
The most other distros, kind of like Slackware compared to, let's say, Red Hat, Mandrake, and SUSE or something like that.
Gentoo.
It assumes you know what you're doing.
That's a big problem. It's very Unix-like.
Yes.
Very close to
BBSD.
I
spend more time in command line in Slackware than I do in any other distro.
Oh, absolutely.
Tell them about the tedious install.
Yes, the tedious
install. Tedious? That's probably one of the easiest installs I've used.
Not if you go menu by menu.
I do that.
It's a long time. But you know exactly
it takes a while, but I mean, comparing to Gentoo...
Oh, that's not an install. That's
just a wait
for
me to finish. Yeah.
It has to travel through your hardware. But we'll do Gentoo in a later time, because we definitely have to.
Ooh, can we do FreeBSD next?
Oh, we could try that. Uh-huh. You want to do FreeBSD next week? Anyway. Uh-huh. Back to Slack. So it's definitely the most Unix-like of all the Linux distros I've used so far.
Yeah, probably.
Because it still retains a lot of the old format. It uses rc.d.
Yeah. What style in it is that? The style in it scripts? Because they're the most common two are System 5 and the BSD style.
Right. So I think it's more BSD-like. In that sense. Everything's scripted and you can pretty much edit everything. Just like regular Linux distros. There's no easy to flow menus like you would have in Red Hat.
Right. It's
definitely.
What is that? Anaconda install that Red Hat uses in Fedora?
Right. Something like that. And you have to go through this whole huge menu. All your settings are saved in this huge kind of pop-up window you have to go through.
In Red Hat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not talking about Slackware now.
Yeah. I was going to say, which word
you're in Slackware, you have to go into the configuration file using Vi or something.
Mostly
right.
Vi.
Mostly Vi or Nano.
If you wanted to do it that way, yes. Otherwise, you could wait package by package for the screens to pop up and say which one you want. Or
well, that's the install time. But afterwards, when you're trying to install your touchscreen, man, that takes a while.
Yeah. I guess you would know that.
Yeah, it took me a little bit. I got it working, and then, I couldn't touch the edges of the screen, so I had to configure that as well.
Ooh. Fun.
And, of course, it kept thinking I was double-clicking for some reason. It made it complicated, but I got it working over time. Which is probably the best distribution to learn.
Oh,
because
it
forces you to learn everything.
We've mentioned that before too. That it's great for
learning
on, because it doesn't. It assumes you know what you're doing. So
if you don't know, you have to learn.
You have to at least RTFM or something, and you will learn.
I use man pages a lot while in Slack.
Ah, yes.
Man is my friend.
Man is a friend.
Man is my friend.
Now I feel like I'm in a Charlie Chaplin movie right now.
Yes, that.
Yeah, what is that? Fantasy Star 4, the thing says, as it switches, so I actually got that out to read it.
Yeah, okay. I don't remember that in the game, but anyway.
I don't remember that game, nonetheless, but...
I think it was Genesis ROM, so I don't think that was your system.
Nope. Oh, well.
In any case, so, what else is it about Slackware that stands it off from the rest?
I actually found it easy to install. It's a very quick and easy thing to put on your system. I mean, if you just want a generic system.
You can't just hit full, too. It's not that difficult to just
agree.
Right, full
exactly.
And step back.
Yeah, and then you just uninstall whatever you don't need. It's going to take much less time.
So like Netscape.
Yeah. Yeah, it's much easier. But once again, it does make you learn to do
it. The only thing I didn't like is that I didn't find Firefox in the Slackware 10 disk.
Really?
I had to do it myself, yeah.
Oh.
I was looking forward to the menu system. Have Mozilla, they have Netscape. Firefox.
Was there an extra CD or something that?
There was an extra CD, didn't see it.
Oh,
it might be there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Who knows? Yeah, give it a look later, see if it's in there. Just
yeah, it's in my bag.
I'm curious now.
Because I was kind of upset. I was like, where's Firefox? It's not in here. Damn.
Oh, well, so you had to go ahead and install Mozilla 1.7.5 or Lynx.
Oh, I love Lynx.
Yeah. Which one?
Huh?
LINX or LINKS?
Depends on what I want to do.
Okay. Depends on how you want the page to look, in other
words. Right, exactly. Going to your site? Oh, man, forget it. When you had that original text up?
Oh, God, that was bad.
No, it looked cool when you're on the graphical end, but when you're on Lynx, it's like 011, 0011.
Yeah. Good thing I just decided to clear that part.
Okay, so what else can we say about Slackware that... It's probably one of the less intensive, was Linux versions.
What do you mean by less intensive? It's not as much bloat?
Not as much bloat when it comes to packages and software. Like, if you install Red Hat, you'd have tons of stuff you'll never use.
Yeah, I guess if it doesn't have Firefox on the boot, on the
Yeah, if it doesn't even have Firefox on the boot disk.
Yeah.
It actually
the full
gives
version
you a
boot disk.
Huh?
It actually gives you a choice of what you want to install from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're advanced
A lot do.
And it's really well documented.
Yes. Absolutely.
Oh.
Everything I open up will have comments on everything. What does this do? What does that do? It's very user-friendly in
now,
that sense.
To what you said, Slicko.
What's that?
I had an experience, and this is just going to be like a quick second thing. I had an experience with a certain distro called Suse Linux. S-U-S-E.
Yeah.
Some call it Susha. Some call it Suse. Some call it Suse. Yeah. I had a whole different story with tech support. But anyway, Suse, or however you want to call it, really did not give you a choice. And when it did, just like Red Hat, if you would try to make your own changes in it, it would just crap out and just not work.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It gets really bitchy because just certain things are just supposed to work from the defaults. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Anyway,
it's like their scripts don't change to according to what you.
Yeah, not as much as Slackware.
Sort of reminds me of Windows. You change one thing, you broke the whole thing.
Wow. Duh.
It's true. Oh no, you moved the registry.
Well, if you move the registry, you're pretty much fucked in Windows.
Exactly. Or if you just add a zero to something, you're pretty much fucked sometimes. Depends on what it is.
That's cool.
Recently, I've been having a lot of fun actually deleting entire keys from the registry when people get like shitloads of spyware and adware and all that crap.
What is it? HP local users, software, Microsoft, Windows, run.
Wow.
You open it up and it's like spyware bot, spy bot, ad blocker, ad buster, ad something. Okay. What the hell happened here?
Web rebates, Ebates.
Web rebates, that's another. My search bar.
Oh, yeah, wow.
It's another one.
Yeah, although we are Nix geeks, we do still know about what's going on out there.
Yeah, well, I work with people who have computer problems. They call in and let me know, it's not working, I see this. I'm like, why the hell were you? And why do you have 19 extra toolbars on IE?
Wow. I actually saw a screenshot of IE where the actual it was like an inch of the screen
was the web.
Was the web.
Everything else
and
was,
the rest of their like 19-inch screen or whatever was toolbars. I think they did that purposely, went around installing everything they found.
My favorite is when you get spyware that not only does it add their own bars, but it removes the Microsoft ones, like file menu and the address bar. Back and forward is gone. The only thing they have is like Yahoo search, my search, and all this other crap.
Now, what I'm interested in, that I've been wondering these past few weeks, you hear a lot of stories about all these different search things. What's going to be the best search out there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a search is a search, from what I see. What's
That comparison between Google and MSN's message. Yeah. And Yahoo, of course.
Yeah.
But Yahoo pays Google to use Google search in their Yahoo search. So, that's sad.
Yahoo's always seem to outsource their search engines,
right,
so to speak.
They don't seem to work.
I remember when Yahoo had Alta Vista as its web search.
Yes, I remember that.
It searched its own little area, and then it went right into... You'd click something else, and it would say search web.
Right, exactly.
And it would use the Alta Vista engine.
I remember that. And they'd have some other things that, like... You'd go to Yahoo for their maps.
Yeah.
Yahoo Maps.
There's a lot of map services. Well, actually, how
many? MapQuest, Yahoo Maps.
You know who owns MapQuest, right? Or
isn't it Microsoft?
Yeah, it was either MapQuest or Expedia Microsoft owns. For some reason, I want to say Expedia. Oh, we're each saying something different. Google time.
Exactly what I was doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just typing in.
I see you start typing at the keyboard, and I'm just like, Google.
What else would you search? See, that's the thing. Google's like the king of searching nowadays.
So small.
Yeah,
it's quick.
It's quick.
It may not be as fast as that new MSN Soup 1L search, but it doesn't throw those already prepaid ads on top.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting what you want.
Another thing that seems is there's a lot of search bars coming out, too.
Yahoo has a search bar. Google has a search bar.
Yeah. Speaking of speaking of the sideware, maybe.
A search bar built in.
Yeah, so but that's... But
that's not only...
That's a feature.
That's a feature, not an ad.
Not a bug.
The My Search bar, which I don't even think searches.
Probably not. It just says, hey, I'm here, send me an ad. Something along those lines.
Hotbar. That's another one.
Yes, yes.
Or you can add a skin to your Internet Explorer at the expense of your soul. It just throws all the pop-ups and spies on you.
Yep.
What else have you guys located? Have you seen any other ones?
I've seen stuff that actually doesn't appear on Internet Explorer. Actually, I've seen stuff that crashes Internet Explorer when you try to open it.
I've seen bars that when you go up to the toolbar, it shows toolbars. It says, you know, like Google bar. It'll say address.
It'll say like five different things that you don't see.
Blank.
Yeah.
Blank. With
I've
check
seen
marks.
That. Like, I've seen that too. Actually, I saw that on my parents' machine.
That's not good.
Yeah.
you get.
Oh, I cleared it. Yeah. Every time I find spyware on that, I clear it out immediately.
Why aren't they running Linux yet?
I don't know. Actually, I would like my mom to cache all her CDs into MP3 format instead of having her stream from whatever she streams from normally. Because for some reason, what was it, Yahoo Launchcast, they don't support Netscape-based or Mozilla-based browsers.
Duh.
Launchcast.
Yeah.
Damn you, Launchcast. Yeah, I've seen that. They use RealPlayer, don't they?
I have no idea.
It's Yahoo's proprietary music service. They bought it out somewhere. It uses some sort of real one.
Crap. Whatever it uses, it's built into their webpage.
It's using real one, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I did not know that.
RealPlayer or something. And I don't even think RealPlayer has a Linux version.
Maybe I should find out what it's actually connecting to when it streams.
Probably something to throw out. Anyway, we've totally flown off topic.
Yeah.
For why we like Slack.
And we are even running out of time at this point.
That happens.
Yeah, we have a minute and 50 left. Yippee.
Ain't you guys lucky?
Yeah. Well, I guess that means that, does that conclude this week's episode?
That concludes this week. We have pretty much a whole new year to look forward to. A year's full of BaseNet, a year full of new tech.
Yippee.
Well, I guess, I mean, what do we have to say? I mean...
Yippee, hooray.
Hooray for Wi-Fi finders.
Hooray for Wi-Fi finders.
All right, now. Well,
see ya!
Yeah. We're gonna get going. Any questions, comments, or flames, just send an email to basenet@slicko.net. Slicko is the zero. Up next is Binary Revolution Radio, hosted by Stank Dog.
Hey, Stank.
Go on.
Yeah. All right. Time to say our goodbyes. Take care.
Later.
See ya. Mm-hmm.